It does seem to me, though, that by and large what happened with the Gael School movements was much more of a working class phenomenon initially than a middle class one. Anybody who is a middle class parent of school going children will tell you that there is an enormous resistance to the Irish language among middle class kids, for reasons which are quite difficult to entirely fathom. There's something approaching a kind of hatred of the Irish language, and I think perhaps one of the things that has happened is that the Gael School movement is driven largely by parents who are slightly horrified at the attitudes that their own children are picking up among their peers, which are extremely negative and very much driven by a kind of brand culture, you know, where if you're not wearing the right brands when you go to school, you can risk getting beaten up in the schoolyard.
I'll ask the question in another way then. Okay, I went to a national school, and when I went to the private secondary school that I ended up in, all the kids from national schools skipped first year, okay? All of us, right? There was maybe 30% of the secondary school, the private secondary school, came from national schools. We all skipped first year, and there was a perception that the basic national school education that we got, we were on a complete winner because it was better, and clearly as a result of this fast tracking and skipping first year, it was better, and secondly, that it was free. And what I'm saying now is that many parents who would otherwise in the past are increasingly now in more affluent society pay for private education have twigged this, but they don't want to go to local national schools because they do feel that their kids will be ending up with the undesirables from down the council estate when they've bought their swanky begated residence. But they understand that the national school education is better, it's free, and they're thinking Gael schools is my option. That's my point.
Well, you can certainly make an argument, and there may be some elements of truth in it, but the fact is, I think you're leaving out one of the most obvious social facts in Ireland, which is that this is the most socially segregated society in Western Europe. So the reality is that there are actually relatively few circumstances in which kids from middle-class areas end up in schools with kids from working-class areas. So there is already a very strong element of social segregation within the system. And arguably one of the attractions of the alternative schools for many people, in fact, is that they often draw on a wider catchment area. So I don't know whether you fully thought through that argument in terms of the evidence on the ground. I mean, is the social composition narrower than the social composition of the average national school? I would question that premise.
Lorcan, when I was a kid, there were two national schools in Monkstown. One was the local national school, and one was Skull or Coin. And Skull or Coin had a much, much posher, much, much posher. This is what I'm saying, Fintan.
That's absolutely true, but maybe you're basing too much on the example of Skull or Coin, which is, of course, much older than the vast majority of the Gael schools, which have been set up really since the 1980s, and which started very much, certainly in Dublin. I mean, the initial move towards the Gael school was very working class. I mean, many of the areas where you began to get Gael schools in the 1980s were very strongly working class areas, and you could certainly argue that the Gael School movement became much more of a working class phenomenon in the 1980s than it had been previously.
Let's ask Lorcan to verify. Lorcan, good morning to you.
Good morning, David, and thank you very much. I'm up since 6:30 this morning, and I needed a good laugh, and I think that's been given us this morning. Gael's got out a new posh. Very, very good, very good. I was asked last night to come on this programme to refute the suggestion that a Gael school as an institution is a middle class and elitist. Now, I'm coming to this programme as a parent who was involved in the establishment of a school in Kiltearn, and I, amongst others, gave thousands of man hours voluntary to this initiative. And we started with 18 kids in 1995, and we were over 220. There's nothing elitist about it, because there's very good other national schools in Kiltearn. Excuse me. And as I said, we started in 95 with 18 children in a rugby club, in a dressing of a rugby club. Not very elitist, David. Not very elitist, Fintan.
No,
I mean, we've had to clean those dressings from muck and towels and boots that were left behind the dressing room. There's no trappings of elitism in Kiltearn, and there never was.
No, I suppose maybe both of you are misunderstanding my question, or maybe my question is entirely farcical and it doesn't stand up to any analysis. My question is, Lorcan, many people now, as parents, sending their kids to school, say, where are the teachers most committed? where are the teachers absolutely committed to education? There is a perception that that sense of the national school teacher who was really, really committed to education is now largely not so much a thing of the past, but increasingly not necessarily a staple guarantee. So they're looking to Gaelscoils and they see people like yourself, Lorcan, who precisely what you've just said to me, who are absolutely committed to education via the language. And I think some parents are piggybacking on that because they see your motivation as something they want for their children. That's my point.
Yeah, I take that on board, but let's look at it. I think you've been unfair to parents and you've been very unfair to teachers also. Let's take the scenarios in Kiltearnan. There's a national school in Kiltearnan that is every bit as good as a girls' school in Kiltearnan. The level of education given both of those schools are equal, so both teachers are highly committed, both sets of teachers are highly committed. And let's take the issue of parents piggybacking on the movement. Let's look at a parent who sends a child to a girls' school. Surely they want something uniquely different, but they want something that's uniquely Irish and Irish-driven. It's a language-driven initiative, there's no doubt about that. And parents who send their child to a girls' school rarely drop their child at the front door and leave the school and never get involved. They generally get involved in parents' committees, social committees, fundraising committees. So they're more involved as a group of parents than would be the case in other schools. So it's not a case of piggybacking on a movement. This movement is parent-driven and parent-orientated and is founded by parents. Do you understand?
I understand you very well as a parent who's about to make these choices myself quite soon. Now, Fintan O'Toole, in that context, in the context of what Lorcan has just said, it would seem to me that Gaelscoils not only have risen dramatically, but will continue as parents, I wouldn't say obsession, but parents' understandable concern about the primary education of their kids is high on their agenda.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with what's just been said by Lorcan, you know, that the issue very largely for parents is, both with Gaelscoils and with the Educate Together movement, there's a very strong parent choice ethos in both of them. And that has been one of the huge attractions for parents. That, rather than the premise of parents piggybacking on something, I mean, parents desperately want to be involved in the education of their children. They want to feel that they're not just being offered a one-size-fits-all system into which their kids will be stuffed and the parents will be kept outside the door. They want to be involved. And the huge success of both the Gaelscoil movement and the multi-denominational movement shows that actually parents are really anxious to take the initiative. It's been a terribly hard struggle for parents all over the country involved in these schools. As Lorcan was saying, they very often have to start off in appallingly substandard premises. In many cases, as we've been hearing over the last few days, they've stayed in appallingly substandard premises. They've had to raise money. They've had to get involved in cleaning the toilets, in doing work which is extremely unglamorous and certainly isn't hip or trendy. And what that shows, I think, is a lesson for the broader system, which is that there has to be a place for the initiative and the enthusiasm of parents. And while I wouldn't accept what you were saying about the fact that maybe teachers in the ordinary primary school system are demotivated,
I'm from a family of teachers. It's just personal experience.
If you listen to
the teachers' unions, you would see, you have to agree that the teachers' unions are saying to me, the INTO, they're saying to me they're demoralised.
That is absolutely true, and certainly at a broad level. There are huge issues in relation to the general primary school system. It is still a sectarian system, which is, however problematic that might have been, say, in the 1950s or 1960s, in a multicultural society, which we now have, and a pluralistic society, there is a huge potential for enormous social damage to be done if we don't wake up to this issue very fast, because potentially every single community in Ireland can be split along the lines of what kind of representation of religion do people want in their local primary school. We cannot, as a society, afford the model which is implied in the Constitution, which is that basically if any group of parents want a school to meet their ethos, then the state will fund it. We simply can't do that in a pluralistic society whereby you've got, in many communities, you might have now up to 10, 15 different ethnic and religious groups. You can't simply provide a school for all of them.
Clinton O'Toole, on that note.
Very carefully at the idea of how we're going to get a non-sectarian basic system that people are entitled to participate in as parents and as students.
On that note, Clinton O'Toole and Lorcan McGowan, thank you both very much for talking to me. We've got news now and then. The next in the breakfast show, birdies on the golf courses. Will things ever be the same again?
2020 News on News Talk 106.
Six people are still in Garda custody while three others remain at large this morning following yesterday's dramatic shootout between Gardaí and a major criminal gang in Cavan. One of the gang is on the run, is said to have been injured in the incident in Virginia. Gardaí are still searching for the three suspects who are said to be armed. Hibernian Insurance has announced a 10% reduction for motorists who keep a clean driving licence from November 1st. The reduction will not apply if motorists have clocked up between 1 and 5 penalty points. Those who have 6 points will have their insurance premium loaded by 10% and by a further 5% for every subsequent point. And students are hailing the first overnight occupation of a government building in over a decade as a major success. 10 students left the Department of Transport in Clare Street shortly after 8 o'clock this morning after Gardaí pushed through the barricades they'd set up. There's more news for Dublin in 20 minutes. Now the weather dried first today with some bright spells.